is not true. It is not true at all that a person must wait until the judgment to find out if he's saved. The Apostle John said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Our Lord commands us to settle this matter of saving faith, to determine whether or not we are redeemed, whether Christ dwells in us. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself. Not examine the other person, but examine yourself. And then Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 1:10, "Give diligence." Diligence. Nothing else is of such great importance. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. And then when we come to the Lord's table, our Master tells us, let a man examine himself to see if he discerns the Lord's body, understands the sacrifice of Christ, and so let him eat. And so let him eat. Those in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament who are our examples were sure of their interest in Christ. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." That doesn't sound like uncertainty, does it? I know that my Redeemer liveth. David was sure of his saving interest in the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." In Psalm 27:1, he said, "The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my salvation." Paul knew it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." They knew it. They knew it. And this knowledge of our interest in Christ, this knowledge of a saving interest, if a man has that knowledge, it encourages him to leave all to follow Christ. Uncertainty of our position in Christ, watch this, uncertainty leads to indifference, but confidence begets a willingness even to die for him. Uncertainty leads to indifference, carelessness, but confidence in Christ begets a willingness even to die for him. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 21. Listen to Paul, Acts 21. Reading verse 13. Acts 21. Listen, Paul answered. Acts 21, 13. Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." I'm not only ready to be bound, I'm ready to die. Now, the only way in the world a man can come to that position is to have a certain, sure knowledge of his interest in Christ. That's where it leads. That's where it leads. Uncertainty leads to indifference. Confidence in Christ begets a willingness even to die for him. And to deny that a man may know his interest in Christ is to deny the Holy Scriptures. Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, said, "This is your life. To know God is your life. To walk with God is your life. To have an interest in God, that's your life. Christ in you. Christ in you. That's life. If a man does not have Christ, he doesn't even have life." So let that be established, first of all, as we approach this subject of saving faith. Our saving interest in Christ may be known. First, because God commands it. Secondly, because those in the Old Testament and New Testament who were our examples were sure of their saving interest in Christ. It wasn't the perhaps I'm saved, or maybe I'm saved, or there's a possibility I'm saved, or I'll wait till judgment and find out. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I know whom I have believed. I know my Redeemer lives. Certainty. And this certainty leads a man to the place that Paul, where Paul came, who said, "I'm not only, yeah, we're weeping for him. Don't go to Jerusalem." He said, "Why do you weep and break my heart? I'm not only ready to go to Jerusalem and be bound, I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm willing to give my life for Christ." All right, this faith, secondly, this faith must be determined by the Word of God. Now listen carefully. This is where most people make a fatal mistake. Building our hope for eternity. Building our hope for eternity. Basing our hope for salvation on feeling. On feeling is fatal. Basing our hope for eternity, our hope of salvation, on experience. I don't mean to be rude here, but it scares me to death when someone starts telling me their experience. Something that happened way back yonder. Something that happened way back yonder. Some encounter which they had with God. If you base your hope for eternity on an experience that you had, I tell you, it could be fatal. It could be fatal. Or on morality. A person who bases their hope for eternity on their outward conduct. I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like other men. You're not like other men on the outside, but you're sure just like them on the inside. Just exactly. Or on ceremonialism. I haven't missed a Sunday in church and Sunday school since 1928. Well, that's wonderful. Have you heard anything at all? Have you heard anything at all? Our faith must be determined. It must be based upon the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must not draw our hope from an experience, from a feeling, from a standard of living, from a ceremony. Must come from the Word. Isaiah said in Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to the law and the prophets, it's because there's no light in them. Turn to John 20, and let me let you read this with me. John 20, verse 30 and 31. John 20, verse 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now look at 31, John 20, 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's why this is written. The Apostle Paul on the ship, the people, the mariners began to get ready to jump over the side, and he said, now, you men, listen to me. You stay in the ship. God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night, and he said that this ship will be destroyed, but not one life will be lost. And every man is to stay on the ship. And brethren, be of good cheer. I believe it shall be even as he told me. Even as he told me. This is the foundation of faith. Not how I feel. Not some experience that I've had. Not how I conduct myself outwardly. Not going through the ritualism or ceremonialism or legalism of religion and saying mumbo jumbo like a voodoo witch doctor in the heart of Africa. But what saith the Lord? It distresses me, oh how it distresses me, that people do not read the Word of God. Some people think it does not matter what a man believes. It really doesn't matter what a man believes as long as he's sincere. The average person thinks that all religions are partly right. Isn't that right? You go to your church and I'll go to mine. You believe what you think's right and I believe what I think's right, and we'll all meet together in heaven. That's the general tolerance of this day. Well, my friends, we cannot all be right, not when we contradict one another so. And it behooves you and me to search the Scriptures for ourselves and see what God has to say. A doctrine is true not because I believe it, but because God said it. A doctrine is true not because my church teaches it, but because God said it. A doctrine is true not because my mom and dad, blessed rest their souls, as people say, sweet, wonderful people, thank God for them. But a doctrine is not true because they believed it. It's true because God said it. You see that? If they speak not according to the Word, it's because there's no light in them. And it behooves every one of us for our eternal soul's well-being to search the Scriptures. I'm not afraid to submit my belief in God's sovereignty to this book. I'm not afraid to submit my doctrine of original sin to this book. I'm not afraid to submit my doctrine of the grace of God and believer's baptism to this book, or my belief in election or divine calling or sovereign mercy or particular redemption to the book, to the law, to the testimony. I'm not afraid to submit my confidence in the effectual substitutionary sacrifice of the Son of God who enabled God to be just and justifier to the book. I'm not afraid to submit my belief in the eternal good providence of God to the book. This is where we'd better come. I don't ask you whether you believe those things or not. Perhaps you don't. I'm a human being. I can be wrong. But I ask you this, and I ask you this kindly. Have you searched the Scriptures? Have you searched the Scriptures? A man is an out-and-out fool who condemns something that he knows nothing about. Isn't that right? He's an out-and-out fool, especially if it has to do with God. I don't ask you whether you believe these things. Perhaps you don't, but I'm asking you this. Have you searched the Scriptures? Have you submitted your faith to the Word of God? I know what Mom believed. I know what Dad believed. I know what old Brother Brown believed, and old Brother Jones believed, and old Brother Smith believed. I know that. I know what Baptists believe, and Methodists believe, and Nazarenes believe. But does the Word say that? Does the Word say that? There's not going to be any Baptists in heaven. Nor Methodists, nor Nazarenes, nor Catholics. There's going to be some redeemed people there. There won't be a name tag on anybody, I guarantee you. I don't know but what this is one of our greatest failures. Have I submitted my faith to the Word of God? I dare not advance one foot beyond this Word. Happy is the man whose faith is founded on the Word of God. I don't understand it. God Almighty didn't call me to understand His Word. He called me to believe His Word. And if you wait to understand everything in this book before you believe it, you'll find yourself under God's judgment someday. That's what the crowd in His day, show us a sign. He said, no sign. O foolish and wicked generation, no sign shall be given but the Word. The Word. Now, I saw the article in the paper yesterday or day before about homosexuality. And how that they say, well, there's some people who believe the Bible from cover to cover. Well, here's one, and I'm not ashamed of it. Here's one. I believe the whale swallowed Jonah. You can call me a backwoodsman if you want to, but my God, who's able to make Jonah, is able to make Jonah a whale big enough to live in, too. And I believe the Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea, and I believe the Israelites walked through on dry land. He who made the sea can divide it. And he who dampens the soil can dry it up quick, too. You women take a hair dryer and dry your hair in about 30, 45 seconds. I reckon God could dry up a sea if He wanted to. Yes, I believe God created the earth in 6 days. And I'm willing to submit that to the book. Are you willing to submit your beliefs to the book? This is where faith comes from, right here. Right here, the Word of God. Yes, I believe homosexuality is evil, and those who participate in it are reprobates. That's what the Word says. And I'm willing to submit what I believe to God's Word. This is where faith comes from, the Word of God. All right, next. Here's the thing that'll amaze every true believer here. Now you listen to me a minute. That Almighty God, you talk about this thing of faith, that Almighty God should condescend to dwell with me. That's amazing to me. That's amazing that Almighty God should condescend to save me. to make my body his temple, to dwell within me, that God should be pleased to receive me into his presence is a miracle of his grace. When Solomon built that huge, mighty, glorious, grand, and beautiful temple, you know what amazed him about the whole thing? You and I would have been amazed by the gold and the silver and the beauty of it. You know what amazed him? You know what he said? That God, whom the heavens cannot contain, should be pleased to dwell in this house is beyond my understanding. Beyond my understanding. You know what? David, God blessed David's household. God made David the greatest king that ever lived. The most powerful, the most respected. And you know what amazed David about it all? He says, who am I and what is my house that God should condescend to dwell with me? You know what Paul said about belief? He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, and believed on in the world. Paul put faith as a miracle right alongside incarnation. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you and I should believe what the whole world calls foolishness. That we should be willing to die for what men are not even willing to consider. That we should be willing to give our possessions and our children and our lives, and that men like Gruber and Pledger should be willing to leave their families and homes and country and go to a desert of disease and want and poverty and live there and raise their children there and preach there, that we should be willing to do that for something that most people don't even consider worth getting up on Sunday and coming out and listening to it. And twice in one day is too much, isn't it? And who ever heard of going to church on Wednesday night? I love you, Jesus, but I don't love you that much. Now, after all, what do you expect of a fella? The mystery of it all. Oh, the mystery of it. That God Almighty should condescend to have anything to do with me. And you, some of you think God ought to save you. But if we're as good as you are, maybe we'd think that. Some of you feel like that God ought to be honored to have you in his church or in his family or in his kingdom. But oh, Solomon, the greatest of all, said that God should condescend to dwell down here. David, the mightiest of all, who am I and what is my house? Have you ever thought about that? You know what Spurgeon said? Now listen to this. We need to learn from these. When I came to Christ, I had no knowledge whatsoever of any personal or saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. All I knew was that it was written in God's Word that God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I looked to him, and I trusted on him, and I believed his promise. And I said, sink or swim, I'm casting myself on him. And I cried, great Son of God, thou hast lived and died and made atonement for those who will trust thee, great Son of God. I do trust thee. Enable me to trust thee more. No, sir. I don't know why we don't talk that language. I guess we never learned it. I'm serious. We're Baptists. We believe what Baptists believe. We've made a profession. We've cried a little over our sins, and we accepted Jesus, and we joined the church, and we've assumed some responsibility. We've given a little and built a building, teach Sunday school, and do this, that, and the other. We serve the Lord. But oh, the language of worship and the language of faith. Old Barnard said one time to one of us, said, "You've got it up here. If you ever get it down here, you'll be something else. This is where I want it, don't you? About down here. And oh, if it ever gets down here, I'll be amazed. I'll be amazed that God Almighty should condescend him to dwell with me." Watch this fourth thing, saving faith. Faith, if it is saving faith, it always stands alone. It has no rival. It has no allies. It has no assistance. It has no support. We're saved by faith alone. Not by works, not by deeds, not by arms of the flesh, not by dedication, not by determination, not by consecration, not by rededication. We're saved by faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, not of works, not of works. By works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Turn to Jeremiah 17. I want all of us to look hard at this verse of Scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 7. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 7. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Cursed. Cursed be that man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He'll be like a heath, a shrub in the desert, like a person naked in the desert. Shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Cursed is that man that makes anything other than the Lord his trust. God doesn't require you to produce a righteousness. He commands you to receive one. God Almighty doesn't require you to create life, but to receive it. To receive it. That's what faith is, to receive it. God does not require you to live up to a standard, but to believe a person. A person. God Almighty does not require you to understand him, but to believe him. Without faith, there can be no approach to God. He that cometh to God must believe. Must believe. There is no entrance, no opening into the presence of God except by faith. Without faith, the gospel profits you nothing. Hebrews 4:2 says the gospel was preached to them, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Without faith, there can be no salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Without prayer, faith is useless. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For the man that wavereth is like the trouble-tossed sea. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of God. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe, Christ said. Faith stands alone. It has no support. It has no allies. It has no assistance. My entrance to the presence of God is by faith alone. That's how important it is. All right, last of all, we'll continue the message tonight. Saving faith has to do with a person. A person. It is not believing doctrine. It is believing a person. It is not receiving religion. It is receiving a person. It is not obeying a law. It's obeying a person. It's not a relationship with a way or a principle. It's a vital, living union with a person. And this is where 98% of religion has missed faith. The sole object of saving faith is a person. And that person, and this is so important, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That person is not Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm serious here, and you listen to me. And listen carefully. Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary, is Lord. He is complete sovereign. It is in that character that those who receive him as Lord. He is not a doormat named Jesus. He is not a fire escape named Jesus. He is not a way called Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord. When Peter and James and John stood at the gate, beautiful, and told that blame man to stand up and walk, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What'd that mean? God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. Now listen to me. Three questions. In what character did the people reject Jesus Christ? When he's here on this earth. In what character? Did they reject him as the preacher? No, sir. Why, even the soldiers came back to the Pharisees and said, nobody ever spake like that man. The people said he speaks with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. Even Nicodemus said, no man could do the miracles you do except God be with him. They didn't reject Jesus the healer. They brought people to him to be healed. They tried to get under his shadow as he passed by. They thronged him and pressed him. They didn't reject Jesus the reformer. In fact, when he was out there feeding that multitude, while they followed him, went around to the clean to the other side of the shore waiting on him when he got there. Come on now, in what character did they reject him? Hear them. Pilate says, behold your king. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. We will not have this man reign over us. We'll let him feed us. We'll let him clothe us. We'll let him heal us. But we ain't going to bow to him as Lord. Now you examine today's religion. What are they preaching? What are they believing? Jesus the good man. Jesus the healer. Jesus the Savior. You go forth and preach him as Lord. And you see what happens. That's the reason these preachers right here in Ashland, Kentucky won't preach the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know what it'll do to their churches. Because they won't have him as Lord. No, sir. Not as Lord. That thief confessed him what? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And our Lord took him to glory. He didn't walk down an aisle. And he didn't join a Sunday school class. And he didn't join a ball team. He didn't get baptized. He didn't take the Lord's table. And he didn't go out and knock on doors. And he didn't do any of these things. He confessed Christ as his Lord. Let me ask you. Come on now. Would you trade places with him? Boy, I would. Man, to hear the Lord say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's all I want to hear. And he heard it. He owned him as Lord. I'm telling you, the world is accepting Jesus as their Savior, but somebody's my God. Now, somebody's my Lord. Now, who is it? Is it me or is it Jesus Christ? Who's your Lord? I know who your Savior is. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. But he, boy, I tell you, is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? He's a Lord down at your house. Does he rule over you? Are you his? Are your possessions his? Can you say with Eli, when the Lord... Now listen to me. God said it, Eli, I'm going to kill your sons. That's all right, you're the Lord, do what you will. Job, everything's gone. Well, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord. That's the same Lord that I'm talking about over here. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he, let me tell you, I'll be honest with you now, and honest with myself. He's not going to be your Savior if he's not your Lord. Now, you can run around here talking about all you believe and all you've done for God, but you don't know Jesus Christ till you know him as Lord. My second question, in what character did the soldiers mock him? Come on now. In what character did they mock him? In what character did the people reject him as Lord? King, we won't have him reign over. In what character did those soldiers set him down in that soldier's hall and mock him? And spit upon him. They went out and got a crown. You're a king? Give you a crown. They shove that crown of thorns down on his head. You're a king? You ought to have a royal robe, and they put that old red rug around him. You're a king? You ought to have a scepter, and they put a hollow reed in his hand. And there he sat, bleeding, dripping with the gore from his own head and back running down on the floor with that reed in his hand. And they got on their knees in front of him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. His greatest humiliation. They reject him as king. Wait a minute. For what crime was he crucified? Come on now. For what crime was he crucified? You know, when they crucified a man on a Roman tree, they put a sign right over his head listing the crimes of which he was guilty. Turn with me to John. Turn with me to the book of Matthew 27. Watch this, Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 37. Listen to it. And set up over his head his accusation. Over his head, his accusation written. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The King of Israel. That's why they nailed him to a cross. That's exactly why they nailed him to a cross. And I'm asking you this morning. Has the authority of Jesus Christ been settled in your heart? I don't see how in the world I can claim to be saved until that's been settled. I don't see how I can claim to be a son of the King if his authority has not been established. Every kingdom's got to have a king. Is this truth? Lord Jesus Christ. Every kingdom's got to have a king. And I don't believe I'm a subject of his kingdom till that has been established, till that authority has been established. That's what I talked about to you ladies in the Sunday school class this morning. I know we talk religion with the best of them. But has his authority, has his kingship, has his lordship been established? You don't do that down here and you don't do that in there. You do that right here. Right here. Lord, what will you have me to do? That's where he brought Paul. He's prophet, Lord Jesus. That's his name of humiliation, the God-man. Lord Jesus Christ, priest, anointed. Yonder amazing sight I see, the incarnate Son of God dying on a cursed tree, shedding his own precious blood. Faith, saving faith. Oh, it can be known. It ought to be known. It has been known. It ought to be known by this word. Amazing faith. That God should let me have it. But here it is. The object is a person. And that person in his name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Son of God, shall be saved.
We better learn what that word name means. Who is he? Who is he? Who is this name on which we call? It's the name which is above every name. Our Father in heaven, be our teacher. Break our hearts, humble us in the dust, make us willing to be taught. No man, Christ said, can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and they shall all be taught of God. He that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Make us disciples, learners. Lord, teach us. Speak to us again tonight. Let us establish, let the authority, the Lordship of Christ be established in my heart. Give me saving faith. In his name we pray. Amen.